Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we have an interesting guest this evening. Her name is Karen Kinsey, and she's a listener, but she seems to have taken a great interest in the Meyer material, and she actually has some questions that she wanted to ask me this evening. And this will be interesting. I'll be getting interviewed on my own show. Karen, how are you this evening?
I'm very well. How are you this evening?
I'm doing okay. I wish I was on Skype. We're back to the telephone again. I still haven't had the time to look into my various Skype issues, which were kind of a disaster last night just before the show anyway. So that's where we are there. So how long have you been studying, looking into the Meyer information?
Well, I study a lot of different things, and I listen to a lot of different things. I've studied his material somewhat before, and then I am not sure exactly why I thought, well, maybe I'm going to look some other directions.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been around a long time, I think. You're Ohio Exopolitics, and I landed on your show, and so it's rekindled my interest in his material and what he has to say. But I have some questions I think may be pertinent not only to me, but to people in general, in terms of just the grounding of some basic information that would be very useful to going forward. So I'd like to start there and then see where the conversation takes us.
Sure.
All right. Well, one thing that in listening to the show and in looking at the sites that I am aware of, and I've actually been in correspondence with Michael Horn as well, it's still a little bit confusing to me, and I imagine others as well, that where the materials are actually posted in English. Now, I would love to learn German and just go straight to the source, because from what I understand, it's not only, you know, the clearest translation, but there's a special nuance and cadence and particular effect to the material in German. But since I won't be doing that like in the very near future, where's the best source for like the contact notes and finding what books are in English that are put out by Billy Meyer or reliable sources that have talked about the Meyer material?
I just put a link in the chat room. It's www.futureofmankind.co.uk. And what you can do is you can go there, you can Google Billy Meyer Wiki, and this should come up as well. And now that's all the contact reports, pretty much. I shouldn't say all of them. Hundreds of them are up there. And you can also get bulletins there and articles. That's one of the main sources. Now, to get books written in English, what I do is go to Michael Horn's site, which I think is www.theyfly.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll put that URL in the chat room as well. So www.theyfly.com. So that's the two places you can go. And if you get in touch with Michael, there's probably a link on there on his page where you can email him, and
mm-hmm.
you can get, that's where I bought all of my English translations.
Okay. Now he doesn't have all 40 of them, obviously.
There's only, I think there's only 4 books that have been translated. There might be 5 that have been translated into English.
Okay, yeah. Are they the most critical ones, would you say?
I think they're pretty critical. The Way to Live book and The Might of Thoughts, you know, all three of these, The Way to Live, The Might of Thoughts, and The Psyche, all go together. There's an additional book called The Goblet of Truth, which you can download for free, and it's a really huge PDF. So the order for reading is, I would say, would be The Psyche first, and then read The Might of Thoughts, and then I would say The Way to Live. Now, The Psyche, I'll just kind of give you my experience. The book The Psyche is really interesting. And to me, the first 32 pages are very, very technical. And I had to read the first 32 pages or so dozens of times just for everything to really become clear to me. And some of the things that are discussed in here are the spirit, the spiritual consciousness versus the material consciousness is one of the topics. He defines a lot of terms like the psyche, the gemut. And we can go over some of this stuff tonight if you'd like, because I've really tried to put a lot of effort into learning these. And geez, to tell you the truth, there's stuff in here that is still extremely profound. Now, after I read The Psyche, and I, like I said, I read the first 32 pages dozens of times.
Right.
And once I finished that book, then I went on to The Might of Thoughts. Now, The Might of Thoughts is a book that teaches you all about controlling your thinking. And the reason we want to control our thinking is because if you control your thinking, you ultimately control the circumstances of your life. And that wasn't something I even knew until I got into this book. And this book is so profound. I read it the first time, and then I highlighted everything, started to take notes on my website. I read it the second time, felt like I maybe understood 15 or 20% of it, tops. And then I read it a third time, and I feel like there's still just tons. I think I need to read it again for sure, but I decided to order another book called The Way to Live, and I read that book. And I said, wow, I got to read this again. So I read that book again. Or actually, I've got like 15 or 20 pages left on The Way to Live before I finish that the second. So it's like peeling back layers of an onion with these books.
Sure, sure. That makes sense. Where does The Goblet of Truth then fit into those?
The Goblet of Truth is a beast. It's really hard to describe. The title is The Goblet of Truth, the book of the entire teaching of the prophets. From Henoch, but we would pronounce these names as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad, and Billy Beam. And it's interesting. I don't know why they organized the book this way. But the beginning of it is actually written by a lot of people in the Figu. So you're kind of getting their thoughts on things,
okay.
Which I don't know what's up there, but they decided to do it that way. And then there's a whole section. I could definitely spend more time in the Goblet of Truth. What I did was printed it all out. The PDF is incredibly long. And then Actually, I got an electronic version of the PDF, put it on the thumb drive, and then I took it to like a Staples, and then they printed it out, and they had to shrink the text size because it would have been so long, it would have cost a fortune. I'm just looking at the page numbers. They go up right around 600 and something. So it's
and
an extremely long
down?
Book.
That's shrunk
that?
Down? Was that
yeah.
600 pages shrunk? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So this book, there's a whole section in here. One main section that I've concentrated on and some other sections that I've neglected for one reason or another. And I don't even know that I have a rational, really, reason for doing that. It's some people's favorite books. If Marion Eulinger in Switzerland, I don't know, have you ever heard me talk about her? She works with Billy on a day-to-day basis almost. And she helped with the translation of this into English a whole bunch. I mean, she was one of the main people that worked on it, and it's her favorite book. Other people as well. The lady that runs the study in Munn's Park. Did I tell you about the study in Munn's Park?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's read it. I don't know if she's read it more than once, I think. It's gigantic. It's a gigantic book. The reason I focused on the other three books is because they're so practical in terms of just dealing with day-to-day things.
Right.
So, anyway, that's a long-winded answer.
No, that's perfect. Because I think people need a direction of where to start, because it's one thing to listen to a radio show. That's
right.
Pretty easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another thing to dive into material and know where to start and kind of build a structure. And I don't think I'm unique in that. You know, I like to have kind of a tree structure to then hang future things on, or it's like a frame when you're doing a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle. You build, you know, the frame around the edge, and then you kind of fill it in. And so it's good to know to where to start.
Sorry to interrupt you. The other thing that I wanted to tell you really quickly is if you start reading, and I would say start on the Future of Mankind site and take a contact report that you're interested in and print it out, and don't try to read it online, because not only will you get eye strain, but the Meyer information, and I think it's contact report 544, says it can damage your consciousness reading online. Just thought I would throw that out there. I'm still guilty of reading online sometimes, but I try to remind myself and remind other people that. So
yeah, I'm
so
very
what
old.
You can do,
well, I love paper. You know, I love the paper product, but it's
so what
know.
You can do is you can print out like the contact reports and store them in folders. And I got like a whole bunch of these contact reports written out and put in folders. I got them on my desk right now. So
yeah.
So I wanted to throw that out.
That's really good. And I think, you know, there's lots of roads to, you know, out there to gaining some basic personal spiritual growth skills. But it sounds like that these are really, you know, made for that and made for people to really get out of that, the practical use. And everything that I have seen that he has done, that Billy has put out, it seems like it's for usage, you know, it's for practical use, which, you know, seems to fit all the way around.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I mean, I think you're totally right. I think that's probably what's different.
Now,
part
of what's different. But, we'll get into that a little bit more. I have some questions about that, maybe some comparative, you know, nature. But as far as the German material, if someone is fluent in German or wants to learn German, are all the books that Billy has written, are they out there? And is he still doing new contact reports? I understand that the idea is that they're not here physically anymore, but that doesn't mean he's not having contact, obviously.
Yeah, he still has contacts.
Yes.
So he does get visitations, physical visitations. They don't have any bases here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The if you get one of his, like if you go out and buy the Way to Live book, and they send it to you, one page will be English, and the previous page on the left will be German.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all that way. You can't escape the German.
Okay. That's cool. That's
yeah, they won't let you escape the German. So.
It's very interesting. Now, I've looked into some study groups, and that was my reason for contacting Michael Horn. And Michael was, like, extremely available. I can't tell you how many people that have, you know, done shows and kind of become semi-famous. You know, they just become less and less available. But I was really quite impressed with how quickly Michael responded to my questions. And, you know, we had a string of emails one evening, and he just kept answering. I never got the feeling like I was bothering him or interfering with his life. You know, he was just really there to help. And so that was very, very cool. But as far as study groups, I know about the one that's going on in Munn's Park. But
mm-hmm.
there aren't very many. And do you think they're out there and they're just not well known? Do you think people are kind of doing this behind the scenes? Or what's up in America with the whole Billy Meyer?
Man, I tell you, the only reason I do shows, well, how can I put this? What I wanted, if we go back to 2010, and this is slightly off topic of what you're asking, I just started my journey studying the whole UFO thing and exopolitics, and I was one of those people that had some really bizarre, interesting experiences when I was young, and I don't like to talk about them much because I don't really know what they even mean and if they're even relevant, but... So I started interviewing a whole bunch of people, and I started reading these books, and I started this radio show in 2010. So, you know, for example, I'll just take one contactee. Her name is Miriam Delicato. She has a really neat book about her experiences in Canada on a highway in one evening where literally some ships landed in front of her car. She pulled off the road. She said everyone else in the car just kind of slumped over into a sleep state almost, and she got out, and then she walked up to these bright lights and these vehicles, which were basically discs, and she wrote a book on this experience, and she talked to these beings. She really only had two physical contacts her whole life, is my understanding, but it's just an example of a person who's had experiences, who wrote a book, and I thought it was interesting. But, you know, what happens most of the time when people have experience like this, they don't even it wasn't a conscious experience. So a lot of times people just... they'll see a ship or whatever, and then they'll have missing time, and then they'll get regressed. And then they learn about their quote-unquote experience, which wasn't even, who knows at that point. It's coming out of their subconscious. Who knows how much is truly accurate or not. So, those, I don't know, those kind of contacts, I mean, Miriam's contact was interesting. Charles Hall was very interesting. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was in the military.
Oh, absolutely. I read all five of his books.
Oh, did you? Well, he was great. I thought his experiences were great. And I got to interview him once, but, you know, I can't seem to get him back on the show for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And
I
think his wife protects him. Because
oh, yes.
I don't know, he's getting older, and
she's a loving guard dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a personal reason for wanting to speak to him about his material, and I live 3 hours from him, so I've been waiting, and he was supposed to be speaking somewhere in Albuquerque, and he didn't make it. It wasn't because of something he did, or it was something a technicality on the part of the arrangement of the program. But yes, he has not been available, and his wife lovingly protects him, you know, and it, you know, I do the same thing in her position, but mm-hmm. I definitely have some questions for the man if I forget to say anything to him. But his experience is unique as well, and I know Miriam Delicato. I've spent quite a bit of time with her personally.
Oh, did
so
you?
I know her materials. Yes, I know her materials. I've actually been to the campground where she showed me where she was drugged from her tent. So, yes, because I had an experience, it compelled me to research and learn as much as I could. And I still am in that mode.
See, I don't remember the story about her being drugged from her tent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's in the book.
Is it? I'd have to look again.
Yes. She did not recall being taken, but there were like feet drag marks outside of the tent. And it's a sweet little camp on the edge of a canyon, a beautiful canyon, Spider Rock Campground. And it's a beautiful place, but and it's mystical and, you know, kind of interesting in itself, let alone have been camped there and had her experience.
So how did you get the opportunity to meet her?
I had my radio show. I started in 2009, compelled out of my own experiences to try to discover as much as I could. And she was one of the first people I interviewed, and we developed a relationship. And she's still going strong, so...
Mm-hmm.
Out of her own experiences. And, you know, it's very brave of her to write that book because at the time she, you know, put it out, it was still, you know, it's still not necessarily a popular thing to bring forward in, you know, any vein. You take your risk of being labeled, you know, kind of a lunatic and or a liar or something of the sort, just like anybody, like Billy, you know. People want to try to figure out what he is, who he is, and his authenticity. And, you know, that's, I guess, coming kind of where to the next part I wanted to talk to you about was that whole authenticity aspect. It's so difficult these days for anyone, you know, and Billy Meier is a prime example of that, with disinformation being so organized and technically advanced, to have people blacken your eye, you know, and put doubt in people's minds about the authenticity of your experiences and your material.
So, in other words, you're just making a point that Billy's really been attacked, right?
You know, it depends on your perspective. I would believe that. I mean, and it's hard, you know, for someone. What it does is it just... It ruins a suit, so to speak. In other words, you want to be clear on, okay, is this person authentic? You are not going to get that from, you know, going out there and looking at material that is, like, anti that person.
Right.
It's Billy material because there's so much disinformation. And it just is a very effective tool for confusing people and making them want to back away from looking at anything in depth. But what I really like about Billy's material is the practicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's set apart in that, I think, you know, his photographs and so forth, you know, set him apart from a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was the photographs that a particular, you know, that were attacked as being false,
yeah.
Images and all of that good stuff. So, you know, to me, that's the perfect scenario. You know, if I were evil, that's what I would have done, you know, because it doesn't take much to put people on guard and just say, well, I just won't go that direction. And yet there are things that have been clarified and brought forward that, you know, that he has had predictions and prophecies that have actually happened. So, you know, it's just you've got to take a plunge some direction.
You know, the whole thing about the photographs, too, if you look at the photographs, if you really study the photographs, there are probably 1,200 of them that are amazing and astounding. There are probably five or six that are strange, that make you wonder. And if anyone's done any photography, what do I mean by strange? Mm-hmm. Was that your question?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe the perspective is bizarre. It's like it strikes you funny. Or maybe the lighting is strange. You know, people comment in different ways. You know what I'm saying? One thing I've noticed is when I've taken a whole bunch of photographs of, you know, at some event or whatever, that there typically will be one or two or three that just came out bad. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And what do we usually do with those? We throw them away. Now, people should really think about this, because Billy didn't do that, and he didn't do that for a reason, because people need a way out. You know, there are a whole lot of people in this world that are not ready for this information. And if they can look at a photograph and say, oh, that looks strange, then they don't have to be confronted with this bigger reality yet. So, that's why those are there. Now, if people think about that logically for a while, if they're serious about that and they really think about it, then they'll realize the fact that someone that was trying to prove himself would have just thrown those in the garbage can, right?
Right. He would have shot for 100% believability. Yes.
Yeah. So he didn't do that, and I think that's for a good reason. And that's the other thing. People, the way we think here on the earth is extremely flawed, because what we should be doing is our independent thinking. We should have enough patience to not jump to any conclusion, to weigh the material objectively. But you notice that the people that are very anti-Meyer, they've almost never read anything that he's written.
Well, and I would say that's true of most naysayers and armchair critics and skeptics. It's a lazy man or woman's approach to life, you know. Well,
I love that.
Think, yeah, it really is. It's so easy to say, well, I doubt that. It's three words that can come out of your mouth, and now you're all of a sudden a full-fledged skeptic and honored by some people. And I agree with you totally that the material requires, any material requires, but this material requires independent thinking, independent study. I really don't care what anyone else's opinions are. I do want to know what the facts are, and sometimes the facts are hard to find in light of disinformation, you know, which is, that's the difficult part. And from what I understand, some of his materials were messed with. I know that one version of the Talmud, I think, was retracted because the person who did the translation was working against the material, not for it.
Yeah.
But I do have a question for you, because I seriously don't know the answer to this, and I know it's on people's minds that do come across the things that are said about Billy's photos. The one example I'm thinking of is the Ascot picture that is out there, and I don't know what Billy's stance is on this, but they say it was taken off of a television screen from a Dean Martin show, and they show the two pictures side by side, you know, the Dean Martin show and this picture, and you know, it certainly looks like it's, you know, they're the same. Is this something that, was that picture planted according to Billy, or what is being said about that?
You know, that's a good question for Michael Horn. He studies that kind of thing. I don't think that way. It's hard for me to explain, because, see, what I'm trying to do is learn the truth. So I'm pursuing,
right.
you see, so A man produces 1,000 photographs of clear color ships that are hovering over his house. He produces something like 30 color films of these crafts that are, you know, I mean, this is stunning material. So, my question is not whether he took a photograph of a Dean Martin show. The bigger issue is, what are these other 1,000 photographs? You know, there is a story behind that, and I've heard Michael Horn go into it. I'm going to have to just, it's not that I'm hiding anything, but read any of the ASCAP material?
Yes, I'm aware of some of that material. I'm not trying to put it down. I'm just saying that from what you're saying is you were satisfied with what Michael said, and it wasn't really that significant to begin with for you anyway.
No.
I was just curious. I was just curious about that as to whether, you know, because I've never heard a response to the material. I've read somebody else's response to the material, but I never really knew what Billy's if he was quiet about it or if he had something to say about it, or I just am not aware of it. So I was curious about that. But I understand that's not where you're coming from.
Hey, wait a minute here. I am on the Future of Mankind site, which is the Billy Meyer Wiki. And another investigation of the ASCAP photo controversy. There's a whole page that's devoted to this. And I'll put that in the chat room, and then you know people can decide for themselves. Hi, Sunnyside Up.
Yeah, and it says Sunnyside is saying they talked about it in the contact notes, and it's on Michael Horn's site. So
I think
you know,
it is mentioned in the contact notes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's just a little summary. They're comparing the ladies. They have photographs.
Right.
Maybe I should read this again. Who knows?
Well, you know, it's to each their own and what they need to do. But, you know, some people, part of their independent thinking investigation, they're going to need to look into that a little bit. So, you know, knowing where to go is a good thing. I mean,
you know,
I'm not afraid to go anywhere with something. And I think that's what has made me a truth seeker all of my life, is the lack of fear in letting go of something old and gaining something new. And I think that's not unusual with truth seekers.
This article was written by, I always pronounce his name wrong, Rhalzahi, and he's been on my show before. And he's done analysis on the Wedding Cake ship. And he's the perfect guy for doing this kind of stuff. Let me just read a little bit. It says, the photos are fake or manipulated, not by Billy Meyer, by somebody else that wanted them to look very similar, but with some details that could demonstrate later on that they were from the Dean Martin show. Manipulation could be done the following way, and it says in parentheses, this is just speculation. Somebody that was responsible for processing film rolls from Billy Meyer printed the real photos of ASCAP and Nira. A photo from the Dean Martin show, like figure 4, was also printed. The face of ASCAP and probably Nira too were cut from the original photos and put on top of the photo from the Dean Martin show. Some minor retouches have been made to make the real edges of the cut faces, and he goes on and on. You know, that's true. And Billy also had problems with, sometimes he would send photos in to get developed, and he would get them back. And they were sometimes manipulated. So there's a lot of story. There's a big story behind this. You know, but this was never something that really interested me all that much. Maybe I should look into this a little bit more.
And, you know, to each their own, what they need to do. For some, it would be significant. For others, it's not. if you find, you know, and especially, you know, my background is I was a therapist for 10 years, so I understand people seeking answers in their life. And if they start finding answers in this material, they probably wouldn't care about some of this other stuff. It just falls by the wayside because they're getting what they need and it's meaningful. It's all about
meaning. Oh, absolutely. So, for example, they have these two photos compared. One is supposed to be Askett, and the other one is supposed to be an actress on the Dean Martin show. When I look at these women, they don't even look alike to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the big controversy is, really, but that's just me, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
So I was just curious if Billy Meyer had ever commented on it. So I'm interested in looking at what he has to say. And, you know, I see people all the time who are trying to bring out what they are researching and believe to be true. I see them all the time dealing with naysayers and critics and so forth. And I really think the smart ones just really put it aside because your whole life could be spent, you know, as a truth teller. Just spinning your wheels with people that want to say, no, you're not, no, it isn't, so forth and so on. So, you know, silence is not necessarily something that says you're guilty. It might say you're wise, in my opinion.
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I was always interested in the bigger questions in life, like who are we, where do we come from, what happens after we die? What are the other human civilizations like in our galaxy? What evolutionary steps do they go through? Who built the ancient megalithic structures all over the Earth? What's the history of the human race in our solar system and beyond our solar system? These are the kind of questions that I had.
Oh, yeah.
So they're of a different nature, if you understand what I'm saying.
Sure. What's really unique about the Meyer material is it not only addresses our physical being, which some materials really almost like try to get you beyond that, right? Get you to
mm-hmm.
think about other aspects. But his materials ground you in the sense that he talks about striving and the power of the mind and shaping your own world through, like you said, the control of thoughts. So that is unique, plus the fact that the history, you know, of the universe is, you know, pretty much laid out, which is fascinating to me. That's just, you know, I'm kind of working on my own theory of everything, which includes what, you know, where did this all start? Where did it all come about? And so I find the materials that talk about that incredibly interesting. So would you just personally say that this material has made your life better? I know
quenched
the thirst. How would you say that primarily it changed your life for the better?
You know, I studied the Bible for years and years, and I taught Bible studies and that sort of thing. But there are always questions. There were always things that didn't logically match up. And I came across the Meyer material, and then suddenly everything fell into place for me. Everything was logical. Everything made sense. I felt like the whole universe opened up to me. And that I have found the answers to all the big questions in life. So now it's just a matter of grinding those out and to continue to study and continue to learn. So I guess I'm saying my questions have been answered.
Mm. That must be very satisfying.
It's incredible. That's why I've persevered doing this show, I think. It's very strange the way Earth humans think. It's hard to put into words when you study this material long enough, it rewires your brain differently. Mm-hmm. And it brings a whole lot of stability into your life. And you start to maximize the certain capabilities that you have. And you start looking at reality in a completely different way. So, for example, I mean, you know, people in the UFO community, you know, a couple of weeks ago, did you listen to the show that I had the people on that are involved in the whole disclosure movement?
I don't think I did, no.
Well, that was, you know, about every 2 or 3 years I'll debate with guests. It's not something I like to do. But we did get into a little bit of a debate because, you know, when you have this kind of material, it's like, you know, why would you need the government to come out and tell you? It's we think we're so dependent on our thinking. It's like asking, trying to get to the bottom of the assassination of Kennedy and going to Lyndon Johnson to demand the truth. You know, it's like, it's not going to work.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like going to Al Capone to try to get, you know, the truth on something. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. So, but people, they argue for these kind of things. So, it's just difficult. It's very, very difficult.
You know, it's interesting because I listened to an audio of some other spiritual material, and yesterday morning it was, those who conceal the truth don't go to them for the truth. It's just like that, you know, that's such a simple thing, but wow, really profound in the sense that why would you seek truth from someone who has already shown and proved that they're concealing it, you know, or lying about it or covering it up, whatever it might be.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's logical.
Right.
that's beautiful logic.
Yeah.
You would think that would be obvious, right?
Right, but it's one of those things that hits you between the eyes. I mean, but it said it, I mean, in light of, you know, all the talk about fake news, blah, 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 blah. You know, on something I've been aware of for so long, and so many people are just figuring it out. But it's like, okay, now don't go back to those sources that conceal the
truth. Exactly.
Ta-da. So, well, I think that's very cool that it is, you know, has changed your life and made it better and brought it to fruition. And I think one of the things that I would say is really unique about the Meyer material and sets it apart is how much personal responsibility he speaks of us having, you know, it's like no one's going to save you. Just start doing it for yourself. Do your part. Strive and strive some more and set your intentions and, you know, and go for it, basically, and be responsible.
One of the most important things you'll get from the Might of Thoughts book, and he talks about this also in The Way to Live, is, and this is they call a creational natural law, law of the universe. And you can see this, for example, if you have a glass of water, the water is going to seek its level. Even if you tilt the glass, it's going to stay flat at the top. It'll seek its level. It's a principle of nature. It's called the law of harmony. There's a negative and a positive to everything. And your thinking is supposed to be neutral, positive. So as you go through the day, you need to analyze yourself and to determine whether or not you're becoming negative or you're becoming positive. And if you're becoming either one of these, you should pull yourself back to the neutrality or a neutral, positive state. And that's called the law of harmony. And that's the way we should think. And the universal consciousness is a neutral, positive entity. It's a superintelligence, and it's neutral. Now, and this is very, very different than the idea of God as taught by our religions, because God is depicted as this heavenly Father that is immutable, that never changes, that isn't learning, that isn't changing. And the universal consciousness is evolving, is learning, is changing. And the Meyer material would argue that the idea of God as is presented by the religions is false because, for example, if you have a child and the child is running towards the street, any father or mother that are worth anything are going to go and stop that kid from running in the street and getting killed. Well, if there was a heavenly Father up there, wouldn't they do the same thing? There is a super intelligence up there, but it's neutral. It's neutral. It's neutral positive. And it's not a heavenly Father. It's not going to intervene. If you decide today to jump off a cliff, the law of gravity is going to make you splat on the bottom. You are responsible in that sense. Those parents are responsible for that child. See, the universal consciousness, it creates universes as a part of its own evolution. So it's not this heavenly Father up there to take care of you. It radiates love, just like the sun radiates light and heat. But it in the German, it's called a Wesenheiten. And there are certain characteristics of a Wesenheiten. For example, it doesn't have much of a free will say in its own evolution. It functions kind of automatically. The universal consciousness, I mean, it's neither good nor evil. It creates these human spirits and sends human spirits out into the material world to live. For example, we reincarnate in physical body from 40 to 60 million years, and you have the free will to finish that physical body reincarnation period in 40 million years or 60 million years. That's a pretty wide variation. Now, the universal intelligence, it functions automatically in many ways. And it was very interesting the first time I got a email back from Marion Neulinger in Switzerland. She explains that in some aspects, it's almost robotic in that sense. It radiates love, but it doesn't have like this personal love for each of us. It's more like the sun radiating light and heat. So, and it doesn't have a personality. And let me explain that and help to explain that a little bit. You see, we have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. Who you are this lifetime is your material consciousness. That's where your personality is. Your spiritual consciousness really, it doesn't have a personality per se. The spiritual consciousness is what survives from lifetime to lifetime. When the Geist form comes out of the body, it takes the material consciousness with it, and that material consciousness is processed in the spiritual realm, and all of your experiences are distilled down into their essences, like your logic and your love and your hope and your compassion, and all these virtues are then stored in the spirit form, and the spirit form becomes stronger and it becomes wiser. And then at the appropriate time, it will reincarnate into the body of a child 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. But it will bring with it a new personality, a new conscious mind, a new subconscious mind, and a new unconscious mind. So the real you, the spirit form, the Geist form, is neutral positive, and it is more like this universal consciousness. It cannot be harmed in any way. It does not sleep. It will never die. It records everything that goes on in your life. And at the end of this physical life, it will again take the material consciousness with it into the spiritual realm. We're supposed to spend in the spiritual realm just as much as a lifetime and a half. So if you spent 100 years in the physical life, you'll spend 150 in the spiritual realm, where all of this processing takes place, and your spirit form absorbs all the important material that you learned in the previous life, and then you'll reincarnate back into the physical. And this is the process that goes on for millions and millions of years. And most spirit forms on the earth of human beings are 4 million years old. There are some people who came here on ships hundreds of thousands of years ago or millions of years ago that may have spirit forms that are 8 to 12 million years old. And these are people that were in these ancient civilizations like Atlantis and Lemuria, like Pelagon. There were people here from Lyra Vega some 389,000 years ago. There were people on Mars hundreds of thousands of years ago. One of the interesting things about Mars is it had gigantic rivers that were, 20, 30, 40 miles across, some of them over 100 miles wide, that would go on for thousands of kilometers. And there were pyramids on Mars. There was a whole civilization on Mars. And there was another planet in our solar system called Melona. It had a whole civilization on it, and they destroyed their planet. But those people were brought here from the Sirius system. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling on, but this is the kind of material that you get. And if you've heard my shows, you've heard me go on and on about this kind of stuff. But this is a different level of information than what you usually get.
Right. Now, is Billy still writing down about his contacts at this time? I mean, as the new material, the fresh events, is he writing them down, and are those available at least in German?
They are available in German, and you can purchase them at some of the FIGU sites, like FIGU Canada, and there's FIGU Switzerland. I think there's a FIGU Australia. You can also go to the Billy Meyer Wiki, and if you go to the contact reports, you click on the contact reports link, and you click on the Pleiadian Pleiarian contact reports, then you'll come up with a page that shows starting at contact report 1 and going to contact report 701. And some of them haven't been translated yet. The ones in red haven't been translated, I believe, and the ones in blue have been translated. So, yes, he's still having contacts, and there's still just an incredible amount of material out there.
It would be interesting to kind of catch up on the front end, the most recent material, while you were kind of working your way through the previous material, because I'm really curious as to, the times we live in and what's going on and what he's hearing. So it'd be good. One question I had, and this is really just a very specific question, being a listener, is the whole reincarnation thing about coming back to Earth and the overpopulation is causing a change in that. Are we also not coming from other planets and going to other planets as well, incarnating in different places?
No. You reincarnate on the planet that you died on. So, like, I'm an Earth human, and I will die on the Earth unless something really amazing happens, and I get on a ship and go to another planet. And if I live on that other planet and die on that other planet, I'll reincarnate on the planet that I die on. That's a creational natural law, and it makes sense. If you can bear with me just a second. The spirit form, like when you die, for example, your material consciousness is not lost. But let's take an example. I'll try to make it clear. When you're driving down the road, your spirit form is not aware of you pressing on the gas pedal or pushing on the brake or steering, or is not aware of the traffic, isn't really aware of where you're going. The spirit form at our current level of evolution is only kind of partially conscious. So what it's doing is just absorbing. It's like absorbing everything that's neutral positive that is taking place. So when you die, the spirit form comes out of the body automatically, and it takes with it the material consciousness. And then the material consciousness is processed in the spiritual realm. So there's nothing for you to think with to decide to go to another planet. You understand what I'm saying? The spiritual consciousness at this point is only partially aware. You know, it doesn't really make decisions. It can't even think creatively. So when people say, well, I think we can reincarnate on another planet if we want to. Well, you don't even have a material consciousness. How are you going to even have that thought? You see what I'm trying to get?
So if there's like 7-8 billion of us here, then does that mean that there have been at least that many spirits to reincarnate? Or
yes.
Okay. At
some point,
the population being what it is and growing, then at what point is that at maximum, and what happens then?
Now, what is at a maximum? Are you saying the population of the Earth, or?
How many spirits are out there to, are there new ones being like?
Sure.
Okay, there's new spirits coming to Earth.
Absolutely. What happens if you ever, and it explains this, and explains it very interestingly in the Talmud of Emmanuel. Gosh, I got so many stuff here, it'd take me forever just to search through it, but it explains that when a spirit is first incarnating, it often appears to be mentally handicapped or retarded, but it's only that it just has no experience to go back on. Let me just give us a little bit more time here, since this is a very important question. Let me save this before we suddenly go off the air. I think we're good now. Okay. So there are new spirit forms, and that's exactly what happens. Go ahead.
I was wondering about that because it's also, you know, in some other ways of thinking, but there are so many spirits available, you know, to recirculate, or however you want to say it. But if we're at a maximum population compared to where the Earth has been from before, then there's either been a time when we've been at this level of population, or new spirits are available to come. You know, that's the only way it would work. Or there are people walking around without spirits, which is kind of a scary thought.
Well, what happens is the spirit gets pulled out of the spirit realm. It happens automatically. It's like a rock falling off a cliff. It's part of just these creational natural forces. So when it's time for When a child is born, 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, a spirit form will be pulled out of the spirit realm into that fetus. It's like a natural, it's like a law of the universe. Yeah, the universal consciousness creates spirit forms.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, there has to be kind of a logic to all of this, right? If it's meaningful. And
right.
So that makes sense.
Well, one of the things, I don't know if you've heard the particular show where we talk about this, but one of the side effects of overpopulation, and you kind of hinted at that, is that the spirit form comes back in sooner. In other words, if typically, so let's say you lived 100 years, you would typically have 150 years in the spirit realm for the overall consciousness block to process everything that happened in the previous life and to adequately absorb that, for that information to be absorbed by the spirit form and for a new personality to be created, a new consciousness and a new subconscious and a new unconscious. But what happens is when there's overpopulation, and this is kind of where you were heading towards with your question, is the spirit gets pulled into a physical body too soon. And the side effect is a lack of independence from the parents. It's harder and harder for the kids to become independent from the parents. It's also more and more difficult for the male personality to form properly. So these are two of the side effects of overpopulation.
Right, and amidst many, many more. Many, many more. Oh, yes, and it's a conundrum because, you know, the thoughts of reducing the population and evil machinations of people who would like to do that and, you know, in order to control things more thoroughly, you know, come up against the fact that we do have overpopulation. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where it all lands. Well, Mark, I really have enjoyed spending some time with you and asking you questions. I have many, many more questions, and it'd be fun to do another show sometime if you're interested, where we do some comparative analysis of other types of thoughts, you know,
sure.
that are out there, and just kind of how it, you know, where it's the same and where it's different, and for those people seeking truth.
Absolutely. Did you want to tell people about your radio show?
Well, I don't have it running right now. I just moved in the last, since the beginning of the year. And but it is a show that it's called Meta Stories, and there are archives out there. And I've interviewed since 2009 on Blog Talk primarily, but also on another station, internet station, people and their stories. It's really mystical stories, the stories that go beyond the five senses. Because I think when people speak what they have experienced, it becomes more real to them, and it encourages other people to step out. And it normalizes the whole idea that this is all just a part of life. It's not something set aside and strange.
Well, send me a link when your radio show starts up again.
Okay.
Yeah, we can definitely have another one of these conversations. Definitely, there's...
Well,
just,
I'll be listening and asking questions, you know, in the audience as well. So,
well, thanks, Karen. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Mark.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.